Turn with me to John 3. I'm going to share verses 16 and 17 out of the Passion Translation. For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. Say, he gave as a gift. So now, everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and to rescue it. Now, one of the things, I always sit down and I think about, okay, what is it, Lord, that you want shared? You know, you're human, your own thoughts come, you gotta weed through them. This is my thought. This isn't your thought, Father. This is my thought. Oh, no, this is your thought. You go through that process. Because for me, I don't know if it's my nature, but I don't like boring, repetitive stuff. I don't. I want something to hit me. Not someone. Don't come lobby and everybody hits Pastor Greg. I want the word to explode. I want a word to just explode. You know, it's got to just explode in me because my thought process needs to be, yes, I see that, yes. And so I won't go anywhere until I have my yes moment. And I'll read through old message notes. I have practically all of Pastor Clinton's notes. You know, I use them as resources. I start reading through. You know, I looked at Christmas messages that I taught previously, and it's like, what is it, Lord? And then I said, you know what? Why am I trying to do this? Let me settle my brain and just hear. And what I heard Pastor Clinton saying, the word is like a multifaceted diamond. Every time you turn it, you see something different. And I said, okay, we're starting the quote-unquote Christmas season. Everybody knows the Christmas story. I'm turning the diamond. I want to see something different. I want to see something else. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Because that diamond started turning. I'm going to read verses 4 to 10 in the Amplified Classic Bible. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Say, love is patient, love is kind, and love has to put up with stuff for a long time. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It's not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. So there is nothing, if you love someone, there is nothing that they can ever do that will cause you to stop loving them. Because love never comes to an end. Never comes to an end. And I found out that it's the whole Christmas process is God modeling how we are supposed to love. Look at 1 John 4. Beginning with verse 7, this is the Message Bible. So my beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can know him, so you can't know him if you don't love. Listen to this. This is how God showed his love for us. When you show something, you demonstrate, you model. This is how God modeled his love for us. God sent his only son into the world. God had Christmas so that we might live through him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. So since God is love, he's obligated to operate under the principles and parameters that he set in 1 Corinthians 13. He's obligated, and we as his children have that same obligation. Christmas, the birth of Christ, was and is God modeling how we're to operate based on 1 Corinthians 13. He loved mankind, and just because mankind missed it, he was not going to stop loving us. Wasn't going to do it. And the reason I can say he's modeling it for us, because Ephesians 5, verse 1 in the Amplified Bible says, therefore, be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father. I wish I had time to tell you what I learned about how my children were imitating me. And it was scary because I wasn't living a godly life. But when we realize all that happened from creation to the birth of Christ, if God didn't operate in love, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here. Because contrary to one Christmas song, love is a gift and it's not determined on whether or not you've been bad or good. You don't have to watch out. Doesn't matter if you cry. Even if you're pouting, I'm telling you why. Because Jesus Christ was born. Whether or not you get a present doesn't matter if you're asleep or awake or if you've been bad or good. That's getting a reward. A gift is given because someone is concerned about you, someone loves you, someone appreciates you, and they just want to bless you. You've done nothing to receive the gift or to be deserving of it. But the other person so valued, so treasured, so appreciated you, they wanted to give you a gift. If they gave you something because you came over and you mowed their lawn or you shoveled their snow or you washed their car, you were rewarded. And we sometimes get the two mixed up. That's why children, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, they try to be as good as they can be, figuring you'll forget about everything else that happened up to that point, which according to the love we should anyway. I said, quick side journey, I said something to the folks up in Pennsylvania, and some of them would have rather not say it. And I said, well, do you believe love doesn't keep an account of a suffered wrong? He said, yes. And you believe that we shouldn't keep account of a suffered wrong? Yes. And why do you tell your children, this is the fourth time you didn't make your bed? All the children were like, yay! So a reward is something that you're given or you receive in return for service or some act. A gift is not given because you did something to deserve it. Gifts are given because someone cared. And we need to understand that. Gifts are given because the care and concern and the love that someone has for you. And they want to show that, so they give something to you. We didn't do anything to earn Christ. Actually, if you look at everything we did, when I say we, I mean mankind, not everybody in here. But the things that we did, God would have never sent Christ if he was going to do that. Because he said man, he would feel mankind doesn't deserve it. No, Christ was born because God loved us. So how do I know that? Go back to John 3:16. The Passion Translation. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish but experience everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and rescue it. Jesus wanted man to spend eternity with him because he so loved us. So he sent Jesus so that we'd have a chance to do that. He didn't have to. He could have created a whole new, another race of people and could have wired them differently so that they would have to obey. But he didn't do that. He loved us. He wanted beings that wanted to love him, not had to love him. I don't want to be in a relationship where people do things to me because they feel they have to. As a matter of fact, it aggravates me. Don't do anything because you feel you have to do it. That's like, you know, giving not grudgingly or of necessity. No, if you want to do something for me, you want to give something to me, do it because it's just in your heart to do it. Because, believe it or not, you know the difference. God put a lot of thought into his gift because people want to bless you. They think about, okay, what's the best way I can bless you? And so after thinking about it, I realized that God has been giving from the very beginning, because he loved us. Listen to this. He loved us before the beginning. Before the beginning. Look at Titus 1. Before he created the heavens and the earth, he loved us. And there wasn't even an us yet. First two verses, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. We have been in God's heart before he created the world. 2 Timothy 1. verse 9 and 10 out of the Living Bible reads, "It is he who saved us and chose us for his holy work, not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan long before the world began, to show his love and kindness to us through Christ. And now he's made all of this plain to us by the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ, who broke the power of death and showed us the way of everlasting life through trusting in him. And he's been doing this since before the beginning of time." Let's look at some things in Genesis 1. Because God, I didn't realize how much giving was really taking place during that time. And God said, "Let us make man after our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion." Give them dominion. He's giving. "Over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth." Verse 28, "God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and have dominion." What were we given? Dominion. Over what? Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moves upon the earth. Verse 29, God said, "I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth." And to every, in verse 30, he says, to every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air, he's given every green herb for meat. And then God looked and saw everything that he gave, and behold, it was very good. So what God gives is very good. Verse 15 struck me. "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." In the midst of all that God was giving man, he placed man as a gift to the garden. Because the garden needed to be kept. Since God was taking care of keeping man, who was going to keep the garden? So, in all of that, this is what came to me last night. Jesus was sent as the gift to us. And because we receive the gift of Christ, we are restored as God's gifts to the earth. You want to see that in the Word? Go to Romans 8. Jesus gave us gifts so we could be a gift. Romans 8, verse 18. To 21, and this is out of the Passion Bible. "I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that's about to be unveiled within us." Verse 19. "The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. For against its will, the universe itself had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. But now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery, to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children." So all of creation is like, are they there yet? We haven't seen. They can't say, it's been X number of years since we had someone to take care of us. So it said they're on tiptoe. Where are they? I know they're coming. I know they're coming. We were sent a gift so we can be a gift. Why? Jesus was sent as a gift, and he became a gift. Jesus was sent as a gift. He came as a gift. He gifted us. God sent him. And because he sent him, we can now be restored to the position we had before Adam sinned. God had to model, this is how you love. You don't take into account anything that the person has done wrong and use it against them. You look at it and you say, what they did was wrong. Here's how we're going to correct it and wipe it out. Doesn't the Bible say that he blotted out the handwriting of offenses? He blotted it out. Why? Because as far as God's concerned, it never happened. That's why when we receive Christ, the Bible says we become a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. All things. Remember, it's something voluntary. That's what a gift is. Without payment in return, it's something given to show favor, honor an occasion, gesture of assistance. There's another key thing that God said to me. Because God is love, he can't stop giving. And when we were created, he gave us his image and likeness. And since we have his image and likeness, and he can't stop giving because he can't stop loving, we should be loving and giving just like he does. And we can't say we don't know how. We have Christmas. We have Christmas. I'm looking at the time, so I want to see where he wants to pick up. So from the very beginning, we understand God established gift giving as a means to bless mankind, which according to the scriptures, he so loved. He so loved mankind. So why is it so hard for us to understand Philippians 4:19? It says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus, or by Christ Jesus is the correct wording. Through the riches and glory by the gift that he gave us. Because he so loved us. The first man was given gifts. He was given life, a home, provisions. And these were not given because man did anything, but for some reason man wasn't satisfied with all of that. And then we know what happened with the fall of man. You can read Genesis 3. It says the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. But understand something. It does not say the serpent was more subtle than Adam and Eve. Say it was more subtle than every beast of the field. Serpent was more cunning and crafty than any of the beasts, but not more cunning and crafty than Adam and Eve. And if you read that, you'll see that, you know, they gave into his temptation and ate of the tree, and as a result of that, they lost their rights to be caretakers of the garden, which means now the garden, there's no one to take care of the garden anymore. They lost their dominion and authority. Who was going to keep things under control? They lost their right to be sustained by the provisions of the garden. They lost their right to the protection of the garden. They lost their right to eternal life with God because they didn't appreciate the gift they received. But even though all that took place, even though man didn't appreciate the gift, God was unwilling to stop loving him. And he came up with his own plan. He said, oh, you want to play subtle? I'll show you subtle. Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And then God hit him with something that the serpent probably didn't understand. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Well, the woman doesn't have the seed. She has the egg. But God said it would be the seed of the woman that would break the devil's reign. And if that's going to be so, another gift had to be given. The woman had to be given seed. The woman had to be given seed. Even though the woman was caught up in the sin, God didn't say, I'm not using her. God gave her a gift. He gave her seed. Also, right after Adam and Eve sinned, and they were no longer afforded the protection of the garden, they were no longer had the glory of God as a covering, God didn't leave them like that. God sacrificed the animals and made coats of skin to cover them. To cover what? To cover their shame. He didn't want them prayed because love doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness. God didn't say to look, this is what happens when you don't listen to me. No, he didn't say that. He covered them. And what's interesting, people pay a lot of money these days to be covered by fur. And God did that even though they sinned. Why? He loved them. Why does loving them have to do anything? What does loving them have to do with it? Love endures long and is patient and kind. It's not fretful. It's not resentful. It doesn't end. And God was modeling all of these things for us through the birth of Christ. He was modeling them. I got him hitting to close for today mode. So when you think about Christmas, when you think about the birth of Christ, think about all the presents, you know, that you may receive or even give, please remember this. The birth of Christ and all of the things that it means, know that the birth of Christ all is also God modeling how he loves. Modeling how we are supposed to love. We are supposed to give because we love. We give. He gave his one and only. He gave what was valuable and precious to him. He gave because there was someone else that was valuable and precious to him. His creation. Us. And even though us, Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, or you could even say, even though God knew we would be sinners, he still created us in his image and after his likeness. Even though he knew folks were going to deny him, he still had Christ come. He still had Christmas so that his love could become flesh and dwell among us. He did all of those things, folks, while we were deep in the throes of sin. God didn't let it move him one bit. So we need to check ourselves. When we start opening our mouths about people and groups, because all they're doing is they're caught up in sin. Just like we are sometimes. And no one sin is greater than the other. We have to remember, if Jesus can come, if God can send him, even though both knew before the world began that we were going to be sinners, And he sends his love anyway. If he can do that, and we're made in his image and after his likeness, we can do it also. I have to stop. If you're here, or if you're out there, and you've never received Jesus as Savior, I'm going to ask you in a moment to make a confession. Because the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So everybody can say this. Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was buried and went to hell. And after spending 3 days in hell, you raised him from the dead. Jesus, I'm asking you, come into my heart. Come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance. And I turn towards you. And I'm asking you, make something new of me. Folks, according to the word, if you said that prayer and you made that confession and you believed in your heart, you just got born again. And what I'd like to do, whether you're online or if you're here in this audience, well, if you're here in the audience, I need you to just raise your hand and we have some folks that'll take you to a private place and give you some free information. If you're online, contact us by the information there and we'll send the information to you to help you get started so you'll know who you've just become in Christ. And as always, if you have any questions about anything that I've shared today, use the same contact information. Send me a letter, an email, whatever, and I'll get back to you. May not be the same day, but I will get back to you. Amen.